many have been taught that a Christian is someone who is Christ-like. Now, to the natural mind, this sounds reasonable, but this is not scriptural by the Word of God. First of all, the Bible has never declared that a Christian is someone who is Christ-like. If being Christ-like is the basis of any of us going to heaven, then we'll never get there, because there has never been anyone who has been Christ-like. And anyone who will stand and tell you that they are Christ-like are deceived and will lie about other things. Because to be Christ-like requires divine characteristics which no human, dead or alive, has ever possessed. Example. Take this brief self-test to see if you're Christ-like. Jesus said that he was the truth. Are you the truth? Now, to be Christ-like is to be like Christ. And he said that if someone ate of his flesh and drank his blood, they would have eternal life within them. So, if someone partook of you in this manner, would that produce one minuscule divine quality in them? I don't think so. Now, James, when I say I'm Christ-like, you know what I mean. I mean Christ-like. Oh, okay. Jesus Christ never thought an evil thought. So to be like Christ, you only think pure thoughts. Well, no. Well then, you are not Christ-like, nor am I. Jesus said that he was the life. When people see you, do they say, now there's the life boy, his life is so Christ-like. Remember, Christ had no sin in his life. So, is your life Christ-like? Jesus said that he was living water. So to be Christ-like is to be like the living water of God. Are you equal to that divine attribute? No. To be Christ-like is to be like the bread of life, or the Holy One of Israel. Do your friends see you in this light? Are you so Christ-like that when your spouse sees you, they say, here comes the righteous one? To be Christ-like is to be like Jesus, and he was worthy of worship. Are you Christ-like? Are you like the Savior of the world, God's gift? I know many pastors who think they are. They toot their own horn so loud that it makes you wonder how God could get along without them. They'll have you think that if they should die, then wisdom would perish from the earth. Beloved, be not deceived. It is apparent that no one has ever, nor shall ever be, Christ-like in their human state. No one, saved or unsaved, is worthy to be compared with our Lord Christ. John the Baptist, the greatest man born of humanity, said that he was unworthy to untie Jesus' shoestring. And John was the greatest human born. So where does that leave us? Paul said that he was the less than the least of all the saints. Did he say he was Christ-like? No. He said that he wasn't anything. 1 Corinthians 3:6 and 7. Yet he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. And did he say that he or anyone else was Christ-like? No. He said that we are nothing in and of ourselves. The only quote-unquote Christ-likeness that any Christian has is the Spirit of Christ, that new creation, that dwells in them. For technically, there is no Christ-likeness in any Christian. We don't have an imitation of Christ-likeness in us. We have the actual risen Christ in us, not his likeness. We have the real McCoy, Christ in us, our hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Nobody has ever been Christ-like, for no one is even worthy to be compared to our magnificent Lord. So let us toss the theory that to be a Christian is to become some little Christ or Christ-like into the pile of rubbish of the other traditions of men. Because to be a Christian is not to be Christ-like. To be a Christian is to have the sinless life of Christ inside you, born into your heart by faith when you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And once he is born into your heart, he said that he was there to stay. He swore that he would never leave us. 1 Timothy 2:13 says that even if we believe not, yet he will abide faithful, because he cannot deny himself, and we are one with him as members of his body, Ephesians 5:30, so he cannot deny us. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Many people believe that Christianity is like some good citizenship award, that if a person possesses good behavior, then they have the right to call themselves a Christian. This is a far cry from the truth, because atheists, can exhibit impeccable behavior, which could put many Christians' behavior to shame. For many believers exhibit ungodly behavior. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are today are suffering because they have failed in the area of behavior. Christians must remember that their behavior does not secure their salvation. The new birth did when Jesus Christ, the salvation of God, was born into their heart when they believed in his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins. It's the blood of Jesus on your soul and the birth of Jesus in your heart that secured your salvation for you. Your good behavior does nothing of the sort. But you are to maintain good behavior because Titus 3:8 assures us that it is profitable unto men. Good behavior did not place you into God's family, no more than your behavior placed you into your natural family. Just imagine, tomorrow morning, you woke up, got ready to walk outdoors, and there stood a grown man right on your porch, and you asked him, "What are you doing here?" And he replies, "Well, I'm behaving just like you. See, I can walk just like you. I can talk like you. Hey, I even can work just like you." And so you asked him, "Why are you emulating my ways?" And he said, "Because I'm just behaving myself into your family." Hey, you couldn't slam the door hard enough, nor dial 911 quick enough on him. Though this man's behavior and etiquette could have been far superior to yours, it would never have been good enough to gain him admittance into your family. Because behavior is not criteria for someone to get into your family. Birth is. You didn't behave yourself into your family. You were born into your family. It's birth before behavior, not behavior before birth. First, you are born into a family. Then behavior is taught. I repeat, it's birth before behavior. You didn't behave yourself into a family. You are born into a family first. Then behavior is taught. And so it is in the family of God. You can't behave yourself into his family either. You must be born into his family. That's why Jesus said you must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of heaven. Notice, Jesus didn't say you must behave well in order to see the kingdom of heaven because God is not impressed with any man's behavior. Let's get this straight right now. God is not impressed with any person's behavior, be they a pastor or a prisoner. God is only impressed by one element. And that element is not your behavior. That element is your faith. God is impressed only by the faith which works by love. Even if you were the best man ever to walk the earth, and you had the best behavior that humanity ever exemplified, Psalms 39:5 still includes you when it says that any man at his best state is altogether vanity, walking in a vain show. This is your behavior before God at its best state, not mediocre, but your behavior's best state, and God still views it as vanity. Psalms 39:5. Remember, Titus 3:8 says that the good works of your behavior is profitable unto men, not God. Behavior doesn't gain us membership into the family of God, only the new birth does. And the new birth is not you undergoing some radical change in your personality. I repeat, the new birth is not you undergoing some radical change in your personality. The new birth is Jesus Christ being born into your heart when you trusted in his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins. And like in all families, once this birth has taken place, then behavior is taught. Nothing makes you a Christian except the fact that Jesus Christ has been born into your heart at the new birth. Now remember, the personality is not disturbed by the new birth. When the dust settles after the initial excitement, the personality is unaltered. If a person was mean before they accepted Jesus into their hearts by faith, then they are still mean afterwards, no matter how their flesh tries to put on airs as if it has been changed. The sinful fleshly nature never changes. Oh, it can act religious, but Jesus himself said that the flesh never changes. John 3:6. The personality that was your makeup before you became a Christian was formed by the flesh, and it can be pleasing. But after the new birth takes place, the Spirit of Christ is born into your heart as the new creation. That experience does not alter your personality. Your personality will be altered only when you renew your mind by the Word of God, and not until. I repeat, the new birth experience does not alter your personality. Your personality will only be transformed when you renew your mind with the Word of God as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Just as you were not born into this world with a wonderful personality, but your personality developed in a growth process over many years from adolescence to adulthood, so it is in the spirit. Spiritual growth takes time. Nevertheless, in the natural, after a birth has taken place, then behavior is taught. And it is up to the child to take advantage of the teaching taught, for it will be profitable unto him. We teach our children what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. But ultimately, he or she will have to decide whether or not they will behave as we instructed them. If your child's behavior is impeccable, then it's a blessing. But if your child's behavior is poor, it causes you shame. Proverbs 29:15. Nevertheless, the child is still in your family, and he cannot be removed because of his bad behavior. He is in your family because of his birth, and that cannot be dissolved. Although you can disfellowship him, he is still a part of your family. Although you may never communicate to him, he is still a part of your family. Although he may never behave or exemplify your parental characteristics, he is still a part of the family. Although he may be cut off from receiving benefits from a will or otherwise, he is still a part of the family, not by his behavior, but by his birth. You can deny the person privileges and fellowship, but you can never deny the relationship. He or she is your child not because they act like it, but because they were born into your family. They didn't behave to get into your family, nor can they misbehave to get out. And so it is in the family of God. You didn't behave to get into the family of God, and your misbehavior can't dismiss you. Jesus said that those who come unto him, he would in no wise cast out. When Christ was born into your heart by faith, God adopted your redeemed soul into his family and sealed it in the sinless body of Christ until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Then you were to be given instructions in righteousness, that you might know how to live in this present world. However, if you refuse the instructions of righteousness and go your own way, you have only hindered your blessings and fellowship with your Father, but not your relationship. He is still your father because his son, Jesus Christ, lives sinless in your heart. Although your unregenerated flesh nature has gone the way which does not profit, those works shall be burned. But God loves you all the same, not because of your behavior, but because the spirit of his dear son dwells sinless in your heart, although he's quenched. And a misbehaving family member makes it hard on the rest of the family because sometimes we are called in question upon the behavior of that family member that's misbehaving. And it's uncomfortable. Like in the 80s, a few of our brothers in the Lord were buffeted for their own fault, and many of us who name the name of Jesus were called in question about their behavior. Because like the Bible says, when members of the body suffer, we suffer right along with them. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And when they were buffeted for their own faults, God did not desert them. He didn't say, "Fend for yourselves, I'm out of here." No, he was right there with them as a faithful father pities his children. They are still his children, not by their behavior, but by the birth of his precious son into their hearts many years ago. Nevertheless, self-righteous Christians insist that it's good behavior that keeps Christians saved. Forget the blood of Jesus. They're hanging their hat of salvation upon the coat rack of their good behavioral works, and not the finished works of the cross of Christ. And you should not hesitate to tell them, as Paul told the Galatians, that they are foolish and frustrating the grace of God, because if righteousness could be obtained by good behavior, then Christ died in vain. Galatians 2:21. I asked earlier, what is a Christian? The definition of a Christian is very simple. A Christian is someone who believes in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins. And when he is born into their heart, he becomes their salvation, their righteousness, and their holiness before God. Be a Christian. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved unto the uttermost. A Christian is simply a person who has believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of all their sins.
Now that you're a Christian, the next step in Christian growth is discipleship. Please visit Good News Bible Study on this same page. Thank you for listening. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?